Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 141. He is risen. Why are you sleeping? Happy Easter. Today is Sunday, April 4th, 2010. We have just Pastor Paul's message. Enjoy the message. Have a beautiful Easter holiday weekend. And God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, He is Risen. Why are you sleeping? He is risen. Why are you sleeping? I'm afraid we're in an age when the church has become very sleepy. We serve, the Bible says, a risen Savior. And I thought to myself, then why all the inactivity? And why all the exercise in inactivity? Sometimes we have to really work at being inactive. Sometimes we try so hard to get out of work, and I've had some volunteers or people that come in, you know, and they'll work so hard trying to get away from work. And they'll shuffle papers around and they'll work over the same bag and they'll see you and they'll put the cans in and the cans out and they'll stand right there and they're working harder at doing nothing. An age of complacent pew warmers, and we're ministering to radio audiences now, and to tape audiences now. We're trying to probably, I hope to say, wake up people bored from doing nothing. You know how boring that is, doing nothing? Oh, that is so boring. Very knowledgeable, but with very little wisdom. And an age of very little gospel preaching. And an age of much building. Now, you go into Minneapolis or St. Paul, you're going to see all kinds of buildings going up. While we claim that the end is near, right around the corner. Always learning, never coming to know Jesus Christ fully in our lives. We're in an age like that. And how do you know Jesus? By doing with Jesus. Some Hormel workers asked me, they says, why is it that down in the whole of our area, none of the churches want to become involved? They're noncommittal. Well, I says, it's easy. They're sleeping. We all can kind of fall into that. We're sleepers. We don't want to mess with giant Hormel over here. Or not just Hormel, any company. Because, you know, they might make a big donation towards the church or something, or buy us something, or do something for us, and we don't want to make waves. But I said, that's the reason why, and they become fearful of the giants in the land, and they won't enter into Canaan. But I said, I suppose by this demonstration down here, that God has put upon our heart to do, when actually you people are coming down to help us feed the poor, it'll turn things around. It won't be an act of futility. It'll be something that everyone can see. But anyway, we are in an age of sleepwalkers. Walking right through all the suffering. Now, you turn the TV on, you'll find yourself getting kind of annoyed because every channel there late in the evening will have on Africans over there that are suffering. And, oh, gee, we've seen enough of that now. I've seen that fly around that kid's face about 14,000 times. Now, I just want to pick on up. I'm going to get cable TV so I can pick what I'm going to look at. Or I'm going to get a satellite dish and spend about $5,000 on some kind of a stupid dish to pick up some kind of a Japanese cowboy, and the lips don't even go together with it. Some kind of kung fu movie or some kind of Greek shipping over there or some kind of a Norwegian movie and the lips don't go together. Ever notice? They get all done and the things still keep going. None of them look like John Wayne. Care how big a boot you put on. But we're sleeping while the slums, now in Los Angeles County, you want to see some slums, man, you go the old way. You go from Long Beach and take the long route when you go through the Hmong people and you go through the black people and you go through the Chinese people and you go through the uneducated people from this that have been here for centuries in this land and go down through there, and it takes you about 7-8 hours, actually. And you don't take the freeway and you go that way, you're going to say, what is this, the Twilight Zone? And I don't believe what I'm seeing. Look at the way these people are. And there's houses that are leaning over like this, and the people are all on one side of the porch. They're afraid the thing will tip over. And you say, I don't believe this is Tobacco Road. This is Grapes of Wrath. This is terrible. War behind the Capitol in Washington, D.C., or Selby. We're down here, and just a little ways down, all that building's going on. And they'll say, well, the city isn't involved. Doesn't cost them a nickel. No, but all the banks are involved, and that involves the city. That involves you and me. And I think it's time that the sleeping saints wake up and start preaching the gospel. Terrorists everywhere, and they're growing. It won't be long until you won't be able to go downtown, and somebody with a long raincoat will come in with bulges in there somewhere, and you'll be armed like one of them, planes we have. That's like when some of the people go in our bathrooms here. And there's poor people all over, and they come out, they go in like this, and they come out like this. I know they got two rolls of toilet paper underneath their arms. That's the same way you're going to see people walking in with bombs. I'm talking about Minneapolis. Listen to what I'm saying now. Minneapolis, USA, 1986. Watch it. We are in a dangerous time, and no one dares to preach the gospel, and they're all getting into pew warming and getting into themselves. And Jesus is saying, hey, be alerted. There is a time of trouble coming like you have never seen before. 1 Thessalonians then 5 and 6 says like this, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Well, how does God wake us up? By afflictions. David said, Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions. You know what God's going to remember about you when he takes copy on you and he's writing that book on you right now? Your afflictions. You start to do God's will, let me tell you, and afflictions and slander will come, and they'll come by the groves and the droves. Start to get dedicated in an undedicated time. And you will meet with afflictions. And David says, Lord, remember Dave and all his afflictions. So we need to be afflicted. Don't you afflict the seat of your kids' pants when they don't behave? That gets them moving, don't it? God loves you and he's going to chastise you. And in the end times, you're going to see a whole lot of afflicting going on. But that'll get you going. You'll see a whole lot of name-calling going on, and that'll raise your dander, and that'll get you going. That gets me going. Say amen, somebody. And so as a spiritual guide, and you preachers listening on the radio, and as a gospel preacher, it is my duty to point out everything and every point in the road towards heaven, all the things that are going to happen, Bible tells us. There will be persecution. Oh, we heard that. Hey, it is here. It's not hearing, it's actually seeing right now. And I think that we need to speak concerning the dangers, and of course then also the privileges, and to warn those who are what? On dangerous ground. Well, what is the dangerous ground? It's when the Lord has given us something to do and we don't do it. Those who have left the center of the road, who have let some other gospel take first place, and they detour off and deviate off of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A prosperity road with no trials. A claim to fame road with no trials, no tribulations, just simply claim things. A law lane, a non-involvement road. The middle of the fence people. You know, sitting on a fence is painful. Come on, I don't care how many pillows you put on that thing. Hey, you're going to be split right down the middle. You sit there long enough. The do-it-all, but do-it-moderately road. Now, I had a phone call and someone told me, well, we do it, but, you know, we don't really get into it. But, you know, I mean, I believe we should feed people and we should clothe them, but I don't think we should really get into it. I don't think that is the church's place to really get... How can you clothe someone moderately? Do you put one shoe on them? How do you feed someone moderately? And that's what's happening all over. Okay, we sent all these groceries over. Then they'll put a blockade there and they'll hold them up until they rot. But we'll do it moderately. Well, we sent over tons of groceries last month. And then that eases their conscience, and then we don't go any further with it. But what do you do the second month? How would you like it if you only ate once a month? How would you like it listening on a radio if people did think, how would you like to get paid moderately? Now, you know, when it starts to hit us, then it's a little bit of a different story, isn't it? Isn't it? That's what's going to happen. It's going to hit us, and then we're going to see what Jesus is talking about. Afflictions will come. But all these roads that I've mentioned and many more are dead ends. They won't take you nowhere. Did you ever travel down the road to self? There's nobody with you. And you don't want anybody with you because you want to, you know, hey, this is my road. This is my bag. This is my trip. And oh, what a lonesome thing it is to keep your life. And then, of course, if you keep your life, you lose your life. But oh, to give your life to gain your life. And I mean giving your life. Hey, if your life is being selfish, then be unselfish. And you gain your life that way. See, for so long we got into get rich situations and moving by faith and doing this and that, and you know, five will get you ten, carnival talk and Christianity. Now, no one's satisfied, they just simply go out and give their life. They don't want to do that. Are you hearing this on the radio? And so they say, well, it doesn't work. Well, what doesn't work? You don't work. Oh, it doesn't work. I gave this and I gave that, and I didn't get nothing in return. Bible says don't look for anything in return. Give and don't look for somebody to pay you back. And so you listening on the radio, this tape, let's get back on the track. Many of us are sleeping and slumbering. Whew. David said again, I will not give sleep unto mine eyes or slumber unto mine eyelids. Now, we're not looking at any way, shape, or form a perfect person here, but he was perfect in obeying the Lord. He couldn't sleep until he had done his very best. Last night, for some reason, I was having problems sleeping. I woke up every half hour, every hour or something like that. And I was thinking about all the things that had to be done. Of course, that doesn't get him done. As I see, many are lying down on lukewarm beds of sleeping, and the church has very little zeal. You don't see a lot of zeal in the church. Now, you'll see in the suburbs, everybody dressed up, and they're going to church, and, you know, they're slapping and pinching each other on the way in, and they're griping over somebody got their jelly beans, and, oh, my God, the time they get in there, they're meaner than hell itself. They don't even want to listen to that preacher. And then he'll get up, and they'll pass out Easter eggs, and they'll do all kinds of things, but they won't minister gospel, and they won't minister unto the poor, and they don't want to get dedicated to nothing. And yet, when it comes right down to lifting up someone or some group or some situation, they don't want to get involved. Church, it's time that we wake up. And so I see the church has very little persecution. But she has something worse, me sees. Sleeping sickness. Remember them old movies you used to have on them walking zombies? Oh, they're on the late show. You know, they got them. They must put them false eyes in these people because they're walking around like this, you know. And that's what you see a lot of times. You see sleeping, walking Christians. They can walk right on by all this stuff. So number one, we shall look at the sleep into which the Christians sometimes fall. And secondly, next we shall attempt to wake the slumbering saints. And thirdly, we shall look at the times when the Christian is most liable to fall asleep. Then I think, lastly, we shall close by giving some advice on what to do when passing through this state of drowsyville. So number one, what is the state into which we Christians may fall? It's not death. Because he was dead, but now he is alive in Jesus Christ. And so we will never die, yet we may fall asleep. And sleepwalk, I'm talking about, spiritually. And then the Christian becomes almost dead. Like dead. Have you ever seen a Christian that's almost dead? It's not a pretty sight. You ever seen someone that was alive in God and all of a sudden now they tuned down? And they've drifted off to a glass of suds every night after work? And they're tuning down? They're almost dead. And so many slumbering Christians can look just like carnal sinners. And the first then, sleep is a state of insensibility. We're not sensitive to the needs of other people. Once that we go to sleep, now, are you sensitive to the needs of someone when you're sleeping? No, you're sleeping. Are you sensitive to what's going on out there? No. We're insensitive. We can become uncaring. And I think many of us often fall into that state. When a man is asleep, I think he is very insensitive. The world goes on, but he's unaware. Storm could blow down the whole neighborhood. He doesn't even wake up. Stock market crashed, and he sleeps on. War is declared, and he sleeps on. Gold is found. Diamonds are found. Food is plenteous. The world is cracking in half. Does he hear anything? No, he's not alarmed. Why not? He's sleeping. And so Christians today, we serve a risen Savior. Well, did you think I was going to go through the whole message? About going down to the tomb and so, right? No. Yes, this is beautiful. But I think it's the time right now that we start moving in what Jesus wants us to do. Say amen, somebody. Let's start to look at our condition. Are you sleeping? Does the activity of some annoy your condition? Now, you get real busy, and there's Christians that are sleeping. They get annoyed with you. They actually get annoyed with you. You're going too fast. Hey, slow down. You're going too fast. Don't you know you could have a crash, huh? And you actually annoy folks when you really get into what you're doing. And so they'll just sort of try to find something wrong with what you're doing. Well, Let's see here. Huh? Hey, don't have to look for it. You'll find something. Hey, radio audience, you'll always find something. Right? And that's the way it is. Are you insensible? Is that your condition? You probably wish that you could feel. But you have no feelings anymore. You wish you could pray, but you pray and you have these little bloopers. They go, bloop, bloop. Why is that? Inactivity. You don't get into it. Once you get into it, you really get into it, you get motivated. You sort of lose yourself in it. You try to sing and you sound sick. And you can look around and you get these great big high-powered meetings and people are there, you know, and they're singing away and man, they just look sick. We've passed the age of that. Did you know that? Even when they have concerts now, spirit isn't in it a whole lot. People right at the very end, oh, you're getting ready for altar call. Okay, on the count of three, everybody raise up at the same time. Let's not be confused in getting out of here. The whole first, second, third, fourth row that came here with church so-and-so, raise up and go. So we can get the bus out of here, you know. And the spirit, it seems, has lost all these high-powered things. And all the building that's going on and all these different buildings that are happening right now, you look at it and then you look over here at the world problem over here and you look at the great big building over here and you look and you say, what's going on here? How about all these empty buildings? How about using some of these buildings? And then your testimony becomes dry and lifeless. Your praises are flat. Someone tries to pump up your... Keep praising. Keep praising. That's it. Praise. Praise. Come on. Praise. That's what they're getting into now. Do you know that? You haven't praised long. Keep praising. It'll come. No. You got to be praised up before you get in there. You know when you praise, when you're under, you know when you seek the Lord, when you're under affliction, when you've got real hard times, oh my God, how are we going to make it? Well, the minister's the same, but your ears are waxed up, and you bring your body to church only, and your heart is elsewhere. You become a formalist. Your excitement is gone, you blame the preacher, and next you blame the music. I don't like the music. Next, we start to blame our friends, and next we start to blame our family. And what's wrong? You have fallen into a state of slumbering, and we all can come there. You used to weep over the loss, but now you could sit at the very pit's edge and hear people screaming and not be moved. You might even get annoyed. Oh, I am so sick of people. I am so sick. I tell you, I am so sick. And the telephone rings and somebody calls and you get irritated with them and they got a problem. You hold the phone way out here. Oh, God, so-and-so. I see that's happened to a few of you. Mother-in-law? Oh, okay. How many are hearing this? And it's because we become insensitive to the needs of people. You start to get sensitive to the needs of people. You get so sensitive. You get so dedicated to what you're doing, you become fanatical and you will not deviate one point from where you are. I don't care how many voices are calling out, this way, over here. Huh? You don't hear those voices. You're listening to another voice. You're listening to the Lord. What's wrong? Slumbering. A year ago, you'd probably wake up and you couldn't go back to sleep. You were thinking about the perishing people. You're thinking about your friends. We must confess then that we have become insensible, insensitive. You see, you want to be awake, but you groan because you know this slumbering saint is you. God, how do I get out of this thing? Well, get out of bed. Guy says, God, I don't know how to get out of this. Pastor Paul, I'm so down. I don't know how to get out. I'm down. What? Have you got a word for me? Have you some kind of word? Yes, brother, it's coming to me. There it is. Get up. Simply get up. Almost had to get up myself. Simply get up. Say amen, somebody. Don't worry about it. That's nothing. If I fall on my head, just get up. Shake the cot. Hey. Boy, I'm glad that wasn't me, I heard somebody say. God, what would I ever do? You'd get up and keep on going. But we become insensitive. I see we have a sensitive audience here today. And that's good. When we care about one another. But we first of all care about what the Lord is having us to do. Where was I? But we can hear about the perishing multitudes and say, oh yes, that's an old tale. Right now, maybe we are not aware of it, but there are literally 20% more people starving than there were 6 months ago. And we are so close to war, World War III, right now. It's time to wake up. We are on the borders of war right now. While we sleep and while we slumber, satellites are going overhead. Ships are cruising. Gaddafi is having a field day. Plans are being made right now for World War III. When one third of all the land and all the sea and all the tundra and all the area will be completely wiped out. And mean targets are right here. And we sleep. But also, we that sleep are open to weird illusions. Well, when we sleep, judgment comes from us. We have a carnival up in our brain. Step right up, three balls for a corner. We daydream of being rich. We dream of doing great works for God. See, why is it we can't do, small works for the Lord? We have to dream of doing great things for God. You know what a great thing is for God when you do something? Do a little thing. Isn't that great? I couldn't get nobody to do that little thing. Little things. Like, when you came down here and washed them dishes, I couldn't find nobody to wash dishes. You thought that was a little thing? Well, it was great. Nobody else wanted to do it. Or carry out garbage. Nobody else wanted to do that thing. So is it such a small thing? No, it's a great thing. Or talk to someone that's in these lines, or minister to the needs of some of these people down here, or just simply get out of bed. Hey, that's a great thing with some people. I know there's a lot of mothers right now, you sluggards listening, it's about time you get out of bed. It's about 1:45. I know that your mothers right now would say, isn't that great? He's out of bed. There's a lot of people that sleep right through the whole day. The same ones that call you up for counseling at 4 o'clock in the morning. A guy called me up and says, "Hi, how's it going?" "Oh, it's going all right. What have you been doing lately?" "Oh, well, last couple hours I was sleeping." Are you hearing this? Oh, God. Oh, God. See, we start to daydream about great works for God. We start to fantasize in filth. We start to get into all kinds of things because we're not busy doing the Lord's work. See, your dreams will either take you into heaven or they'll take you into hell. Strange thoughts come to you now because you're walking in inactivity. If you're not busy doing for the Lord, the devil will get you busy doing for him. Sometimes you even doubt God. You doubt the gospel. You dream lustful things. Perversion takes over your thoughts, and the devil tells you, "You're not saved now." And you start to question your salvation. Or maybe perhaps your dreams are a little bit brighter. And you dream you are somebody great and wonderful, a special favor up in heaven. Your name is on the lips of millions of angels. Joe Smith, oh yes, we know him. "Thou dreamest that thou art rich and hast need of nothing, whilst thou art naked, poor, and miserable." Is that our state? If so, may God wake us up from it. Also, sleep is a state of inaction. I've never seen anybody active when they're sleeping. "No bread is earned by sleepers." And I'm talking about sleeping saints. They're not really dead, but they're sleeping and they're walking along and they're not doing anything. "The man that sleeps in bed tills no soil, plants no crops, his hands hang down, Tom Dooley. He has a pulse and his mouth moves, his heart beats and his eyes blink, and yet he is dead as to activity." And you see so much of that. People that aren't doing anything, idling. Not a thing. That is the state of many. How many Christians are inactive? Once you love to teach, once you love to get involved, once you were early to prayer meetings, but now you're 15 minutes late, you're right on time to say amen. Oh, there are so many amen Christians, I don't believe it. I always tell people, when I say amen, say amen, because there's a lot of times people just, they're just like parrots. Right in the middle, one guy would come in, and I couldn't get one word out. Amen, and amen. And then, amen. And I said, "Brother, that will not make you any more spiritual saying all those amens. And if you keep it up, I'll just have to throw a gag on you." You know what I mean? But yeah, and there's a whole lot of that going on. And you'll talk to some people, and they're there, and they don't even hear what you're saying. They're so busy saying amen. "Glory, glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory." I said, "Will you hold off for a minute? I want to try to tell you something." Understand me? It's a religious spirit. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, brother. Praise God, praise God. Love you, brother, love you, brother. Isn't that unrealistic? To me, it is. I mean, it's all a facade, and it's all so people will see us. Amen. It's a nice day. Amen. How are you, brother? Saved and filled and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. What else is new? You told me that every time I've seen you. Of course, you don't say that. You just sort of walk away when you see, oh. Inactivity. Where are the preachers of the gospel? I'll tell you, one store had people lined up and they were waiting for to go see some great big 6-foot Easter bunny. And the kids were whining and crying. Oh, I want to see the Easter Bunny. And these parents were saying, God, how'd I get myself in? Shut up. Shut up. I want a coloring book for the Easter Bunny. I do. And here's this great big furry Easter Bunny there. And some kid they put in there for, you know, $2 an hour. He's sweating and he's inside. Ooh, one more kid. Ooh. It was the first Easter Bunny I ever seen with fangs. That's where the world is. They'll go for anything. Here we have the free gift, Jesus Christ, and the world is beating us out with some great big 6-foot Easter Bunny with fangs. Isn't that sad? Why is that? Because we're inactive. Because we have our way of doing things, and we'll stand there. And, you know, we don't use any common sense at all. You're dealing with the world. Are you saved? Did you know you are going to hell if you're... Now, that's true. But there are approaches to people. And then they give them some kind of a track, and then has a picture of a pit with people screaming and falling into this pit. Hell is waiting for you! Now, is that an encouragement to somebody? You know what they're going to tell you? I am already in hell. I don't need another one. When I was in the world, I really believe I was in a type of hell. Say amen, somebody. It really is the truth. But here, read that. But they never tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They never tell them about the fun in serving Jesus and dedication. How many are hearing this? Whew. The gospel of the Easter Bunny is heard more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't say amen, say ouch. God. Man, oh, they can get out there and build it up. Sleepwalkers, born again, but sleeping. And all these seminars folks go to. And they get these great big notebooks, and they're taking notes, and they sit in there for like 2 weeks in a seminar. Uh-huh. And they're writing, and they're writing, and they're writing all these notes, and nothing in their heart, nothing in their head. It's in the notebook. They take it home, they throw it on the shelf, and never look at it again. Till the next seminar comes along. An excuse to get out of town. Hey, there's a seminar coming up. Oh, yeah? Where is the next seminar going to be? Oh, it's going to be down in Palm Springs at the Hotel Sofitel. Wow. And look at everything you get for $50. Isn't that a deal? Pastor Paul, do you want to go? If you get 15 people to go, you can go free. I said, they'd have to pay me to go there. Or dead churches, and they're all over, never ministering Jesus Christ, never, ever. They stand or they prop up a man behind the pulpit with guaranteed salaries, guaranteed pensions and vacations. They might as well put a mannequin up there and wind that thing up and put a tape recorder behind it. But people are sleeping anyway, and many aren't born again. How about the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ instead of hearing about humanism? How about the spirit of praise and the spirit of prayer and the spirit of rejoicing? Oh, when do we rejoice? The Bible says rejoice always. Easier said than done. Well, I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm saying just do it. And then God's word says to rejoice always, and he'll give you the power to rejoice always. Or do you need incentives of material junk to move your spirit? Praise and power are there for you. You just go ahead. It's almost though it's extinct. Know how we need praying people and praising people and rejoicing people. Then the man who is asleep is in a state of insecurity. Isn't it insecure to be asleep? while your enemies are surrounding you, and I'm talking about you're standing up walking, but your enemies are surrounding you, murderers. They can get killed while you're asleep. Joel kills the sleeping Syria. Abner taketh away the spear from the holster of the slumbering Saul. Samson has a haircut while he slumbers. Sleeping men are always in danger. Of course, your life can never be taken away, you that are born again, hid with Christ in God. But oh, how many lose their weapons? How many lose their peace and their power and their joy? How many lose it? Know how the devil can molest your spirit. Well, how do we wake up these sleepy Christians? Shall I yell, fire? No, they'd say, oh, no, there's a sprinkler system in here. Don't worry. I think many have eaten too much spiritual dinner and have done no work, so they are sleeping. Inactive yawners. Do you ever get eat so much it doesn't feel like doing anything? Burp, burp, burp. Oh, I don't believe I ate the whole thing. I don't believe it. My God, I ate the whole thing. I don't believe I... What to do? You need activity. You need to get up after a message, and you need to go on out. You need to put that message to work. You need to, after that you've filled yourself with the Word of God, go on out and give it away. Hey, isn't that right, Jim? You're down in there and down there where you're at. And I won't mention the name of it, but you're down there, and you get active, see, and you cause people to get kind of nervous. Hey, hold off there. You're going to cause the buns to sort of go down. He's a baker, by the way. You know, God is going to save the very meanest sheep. But do you want to be raptured in a feather bed of inactivity in night clothes? But also, Christians, awake from your slumber, because the Lord is coming. Paul says like this, ye are all the children of light and the children of day. Yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, all the signs are in. War looms. It's only going to take one nut. I remember several years ago I said, it's going to take one nut to come up to set this thing off. I think somebody like Gaddafi is the guy I was talking about. I really do. Someone is going to fire at one of those ships. Someone is going to fire a couple of our planes up there. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Ye brethren are not in darkness. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to read the paper. War. They are bold. They will come into the church. They will go into the capitals. They will attack people in their homes. Don't sleep. Ye brethren are not in darkness. Well, we know what's going to be going on. That the day should overtake you as a thief. The Lord is coming, and coming soon. Was that song, Soon and Very Soon? In such an hour, it says, as ye think not, start claiming Jesus Christ as Lord instead of claiming colored TVs and microwaves and boyfriends. Jesus, who hung once at Calvary, will be crowned, it says in jewels, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, including all the Gaddafis in the world. Because Jesus, who hung once at Calvary, will be crowned in jewels, it says, Lord of lords and kings of kings. He will come in the clouds of heaven to gather up his church, and you'll be up there some 45 days. And there'll come a great judgment. Not for sin. That's already passed over. But where were you when? Where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widow? Where were you when I was hungry? Oh, we didn't know you were in those things, Lord. Well, I tell you, now these mine done to me. You're going to go as if through fire, and yet you shall be saved. He's going to come, and he's going to come in the clouds, it says. Don't you feel it? Doesn't the world condition warrant us to be sober and to watch? Do you want to be like the foolish virgins or like the wise ones? Which one? They come, they're coming up the driveway. My God, open up the basement door. Throw everything down in there. Hurry up, huh? Everything in the basement. Or if the president were going to visit on Sunday, boy, I bet there'd be no cobwebs in your house. There'd be no dust. It'd be time for the white glove and microscope inspection teams. There'd be no dirty windows. There'd be shining toilet bowls, full tissue rolls, happy dust-free floors, and a $14.98 worth of sweet-smelling deodorants. Not one hair would be out of place. Your best clothes would be on. You'd ask each other, how do I look? Why don't we do that for the coming of the Lord? How do I look? How do I look? No. You expect him to come and you say, how do I look? Or will we be caught sleeping? Maybe you'd be caught in a bar. Maybe you'd be caught in an X-rated movie. You'd be raptured up and you'll have this stub in your hand. Triple X. More filth than the body can stand. You ever seen them guys sneaking out of them bookstores? And they're going along, and all of a sudden you go inside, and they come out and they do one of these shots. And somebody sees them from across the street. Hey, Fred! Hey! How about the Christian businessmen? Do you cheat and then pray, God, forgive me? No, give back that money and then pray. Would you like Jesus Christ to find you cheating? You've already been found. Devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. Oh, you banks out there. You damnable banks out there that got all this money that for the last 15 years you've been spending it all over Mexico and all over the place. Now you're picking it up off the farmer. Shame on you. Shame, shame on you. Some of you are Christians. Well, what we did was we gave it back to the fellow that sold this, and then we gave it back to them, and the guy can't afford it. So they make it look good. Well, the first mortgage holder gets it back. What are the payments? What do you think I sold it for? So I could have some money. Well, if you can come up with the money in 30 days, and if you can't, now we're even buying up herds of milk cows. What a sham. I tell you, since I got into feeding the poor and I see the politics of all this, is there somebody got to say something? Well, the farmers overspent, and then they got these great big tractors and these great big machines, but they didn't know that they were going to raise the gas so they couldn't run those machines. It's a plot. I went to a meeting where inner city met with the farmers, and they had their own politicians on each side, bristled for war. And they're sitting there, you know, waiting. Well, where were you when the inner city was having problems? You were having all them big machines and making all that money and everything. And I listened to him for a while, and I says, you know, if I might say something here, don't fall for this. You need the farmer, and the farmer needs you. Don't let some buddy pick you up like a couple of little rags and get you going. And they get them like puppets, see? And they hold them up there. Okay, now listen, this is your part. These farmers, they had all this money, and you didn't have anything. Remember? Remember that? Remember how you suffered? Oh, you suffered. And now it's your turn, right? That's right, that's right. Okay, go get them. See, it gets your mind off of somebody else. Mr. Fat Cat that's building all these buildings all over. Mr. The Banks that are building all these buildings all over. But you know something? There's going to come a time when London Bridge is falling down and nothing's going to work. There's going to be a time of perplexity and all of these high schemes. Hey, you've got to have folks to put in these places. Executive suites at the so-and-so high-rise. But no executives. Apartments, $9.99 a month. $125 for parking. $50 for garbage disposal. For the tune of $2,000 a month, you can live here. No people to live there. See, we've created a situation where there's no way out. We really have. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about the world. We have created an age of perplexity, meaning there is no way out. And then the banks go out and make these wildcat investments out there. Oh, that's time that somebody said something. Wildcat investing. And then to make it up, then you got to go to somebody else. And you can't get a nickel out of them. Well, the interest rate is down now. And so is their borrowing. When the interest rate is up, they'll give you all the money. When the interest rate is down, they ain't going to give you no money. What good does it do? And yet, we can become involved, taxpayers' money can become involved in all of these things. Oh, hey, Jesus is going to come, banker. Jesus is going to come, insurance companies. Jesus is going to come, all of you people out there that are raising all of these funds with sister companies and Aunt Ebba Lou companies and passing this paper back and forth. London Bridge is falling down, and we're very close at the very end. Well, it would be fine if you would come in the middle of one of your long publican prayers, right? But not when you're repossessing somebody's home. Not when you're repossessing someone's lands and lives, right? Wake up, slumberers, the Lord cometh. Let's not sleep while souls are being lost. Many are not saved. Does that bother you? Are you greatly concerned, or are you sleeping? You won't catch the devil sleeping. He never sleeps. Well, he'll have one eye shut. You think he's sleeping. sleep. Are you sleeping while souls are being lost, radio audience, and men are being damned, and hell is filled full? The devil smiles at your sleepy face. Demons dancing around your sleeping carcasses. Hey. When is the Christian most liable to sleep? And let me close it up. First, he is most liable to sleep when temporal circumstances are all right. Well, everything's going okay. When your nest is full of feathers, that's when you're going to sleep. Hell is just around the corner. And he calls it a little corner. Hey. There isn't much danger of you sleeping though when a bush of thorns is your bed. That's like the mother eagle. That's like Jesus, Jehovah Eagle. Right now, God, Jehovah Eagle. And then they feather up this nest all over, and they pluck the feathers out of themselves, and they put them all on this nice little feather bed underneath all these thorns and all these briar bush things and all that sort of like that. And these little birds are in there. But when it comes time to fly, rip, 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 and all those things come out, and those little birds are laying on those barbs, they're going to fly. The nest is getting a little bit uncomfortable when all the downy is gone. Oh, but when we say, soul, soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years, take thy rest, eat, drink, and be merry. It's the storms that'll keep us alert. Now, when you hear a storm warning out there, tornado warning, woo! Then you're alert. When trials come, then you're ready. When tribulation puts us on the alert. But when things go well in spiritual matters, it's more likely that we'll go to sleep. You never read where Christians go to sleep during tribulation or slander. They're awake all night long. I'd rather a roaring devil than a sleeping devil, and there's no temptation as great as not being tempted. Does your distressed soul sleep when you're in distress? It's when we are confident that we fall asleep. There is no season, and this is it, in which we are so likely to fall asleep as that of high enjoyment. It says the disciples went to sleep after they had seen Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop. Well, we've seen it all. Let's go to sleep. Take heed to what I'm saying here today. The very, very dangerous times is when everything is going well. When we are closer to the grave, that's when we closer to the end of something. Do you ever notice when you're getting ready for something and you get all ready that sometimes folks idle down? Let's say that we're getting ready for one of these great big giveaways or a great big picnic or something like that, and you get right up to 3 hours work left. It's so easy right then and there to take rest. Well, let's take a break. It's almost done. Did you know on the mission down here, after that we get done, all of the crew does not eat until the whole place is cleaned up? Why is that? Because if they eat right after the people leave and don't finish their work, they start to sleep. But if they got something to go for, you can eat when your work is done. Then they'll go for it. Then the place is done. Because, oh, once we sit down, we are done for. Once we give up, once we start disobeying the Lord and what we're to be doing, and we sit down, we get sort of sleepy and we get it slumbery. It's like you kids, when you get your room halfway done, you're doing real good, and then you get into there and you're cleaning. Oh, that's interesting, your records. You're dusting them off. Oh, I remember this record. Huh? Where you're sorting your pictures out and you look at the pictures. Pretty soon the whole day is done. You can waste the whole day. I'm a great one for throwing things out. You know what I mean? If I'm a clean house, I really clean house. Out the window. Throw it away. Should we keep this? Might come in handy someday. Out. You want it? Take it away. I always tell people. Now, we're getting rid of junk. Does anybody want any junk? I'm truthful. You call this junk? You call it what you want. I want it out of here. It's junk to me. You're as good as any junk dealer I know. Get it out of here. This doesn't mean a thing to me. What I'm saying here today is that we dare not slumber and we dare not sleep. And we got to take one another to the cross of Jesus Christ where we can see and we can hear the Lord calling out, "Unto thee I commend my spirit." Where we can hear him say, "It is finished." Where there's activity. See, wherever there's a cross, there's activity. What we need in our lives is a cross to bear. And we need to not slumber, and we need to not sleep, and we need to keep up a vigil. We are in a very perilous time right now. It's a time for Christians to really move ahead in dedication unto the Lord, and don't worry about people. Don't be dismayed with conversation. Oh, God, we always got something to say, don't we? Don't we? Oh, and we're so nosy. What's going on? Hey, get busy doing the Lord's work. Don't slumber, and don't sleep. It's not the time for it. I had never been so encouraged when I seen all these people coming in here to do this work down here. And the day before I came up here, there were some elderly people. There's a whole troop of elderly people, I guess. What do they call them? Volunteers. And they want to come down here and start volunteering time. Huh? Well, you know, when you get them old folks and they come down, you got to kind of take it easy with them. Nothing over 4 pounds, And this old guy was down here, and I knew that he needed this kind of drive that I got to force him. "Oh, I'm not feeling too good today, And he said, "My legs are bothering me." I said, "Well, sit down and pack then." "Oh, that's so cruel." "No." And he sat for a while. He says, "You know something? I can't pack very good sitting down. I think I'll have to stand up." He's one of the best volunteers I got today. He went and got an operation. 2 days later, he was back. "I don't know what I'll be able to do. This arm hasn't got no activity in it at all." I said, "Well, you got a right arm, haven't you? Use that one." See, we don't have time to listen to sad stories. You know what? He couldn't do it very good with just the right arm, so he used both arms. Pretty soon, they both got active. See, we need to encourage one another. It's so easy to listen to all these complaints.
"I don't know if I'll be able to come in today. Let's see." "Why can't you come in?" "Well, it's Monday."
"Well, and how about the next day?"
"Well, let's see. That's Tuesday, isn't it?" No, not Tuesday."
"Why?"
"Well, because it's Tuesday."
And you can always find some excuse for not doing something. And you can always find an excuse for keeping others from doing something. "Well, I don't know how many people are coming to me and discouraging me." You are working too hard. I want you to take it easy. "Here, I'm going to donate $50 for a trip for you." I said, "That won't get me no place. Give me downtown Minneapolis by cab. Give me a trip. Give me $5,000 and I'll go." The love isn't there. He didn't give me the $5,000. See, if I go on a trip, I want to go on a trip, right? I want to go and do something for the Lord and bring back some food or do something like that. But there's always somebody wanting you to take it easy. Hey, it isn't the time to take it easy. It's the time to move ahead and be dedicated, to be sober and to watch. Is there anyone here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Don't walk out of here. We are at the very end right now. We're facing a time when there isn't a lot of time. And by the way, that little heart inside of there is a little time bomb too. You ever had seen somebody and say, "Boy, you're looking so great. I seen him just the other day. He looked like the top of health." And he dropped dead. I don't know, I'm kind of leery when people say that to me. "Pastor Paul, you're looking pretty good. You're looking better." I say, "Hey, don't say that." Anybody that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? I've had some real experiences here in the last year, some really good experiences. I'm not going to share them because nobody will believe them anyway. In my years of ministry, the 14 years I've been in ministry, I could write a lot of books. But a lot of them wouldn't give glory to God. And you'd be complaining, wouldn't they? And on the other hand, I've had a lot of miracles happen. I had some miracles happen to me. I ain't going to share with you right now because people are in a kind of a siege of unbelief. They wouldn't believe it anyway. What real miracles that happened in my heart. And you know what? Being down here in the north side has been the most educating thing that has ever happened in the whole of my whole life. I have been educated. You want to get educated? Get involved with people.